Buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Rolled up to my Chevrolet, I climbed out up inside. I pulled the choke and I turned the key, but the old girl wouldn't start. She let out a whine so pitiful, it nearly broke my heart.
Well, good Saturday morning to you. My name's Mark Salem, and for the next hour, we'll be talking about car repair, car problems, symptoms, suggested repairs, dollars and cents, and how you can double your fuel economy, if you want to talk about that as well. The number here to call is 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960, 508-0960. The lines are wide open. Now's the time to call in like RJ has. But before I get RJ, this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto Repair. Full-service, family-owned auto repair shop at 38th Avenue and Indian School. They're a trusted name for quality and affordable automotive service. If you live south of Indian School, between the I-17 and the West 101, then Larry Harker's covers that area really well. If you don't have a garage, if you've been skipping around, if you haven't really found somebody that you like, please try Larry Harker's, because Bob and Ellen Frisbee own the place, and like many of the facilities on our best car repair shop list, it's a husband and wife combination, and for whatever reason, that seems to work really good. And inevitably, one of them is Snow White and one of them is the mean, so they have the good guy, bad guy, you know, scenario, and I don't think they play that way. I think it's just that way sometimes. I know my wife's Snow White. And for me, they've called me worse. Nevertheless, Larry Harker's Auto is 38th Avenue and Indian School. If you're looking for a good shop, then I suggest you start there. RJ, good morning to you. You called in early this morning, so I thought I'd take you right off the bat, save you some time. What can I do for you today?
Morning, Mark. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, I've got a, I'm replacing on a 01 Toyota Corolla. I had to replace the windshield washer reservoir. It just was leaking, and it's real brittle, and so I got a new one, and everything works fine when I kind of hook it up kind of loosely, but it's kind of cramped in there, and as soon as I tighten up the bolt to cinch it down a little bit, it doesn't work. I think it's crimping the hoses, like it got a sharp turn.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I was wondering, can I extend that hose a little bit, so, you know, maybe a coupler or something. And
Yeah. What you need to do is take the tank back out and cut off about an inch of that hose.
Right.
And then go down to your either auto parts store or Lowe's, and what you're looking for is a little elbow.
Right.
And if not, get a union and get another 10 inches or 12 inches of that. It's probably like 5/32 windshield washer fluid line or something like that. That way you can come in horizontally, and then you can do a big loop downward and then upward.
Okay.
And you can put a loop in it. Yes, that happens a lot. As you know, some of them are pretty difficult to replace, and especially to get that lower line hooked up. Is the pump on your unit at the bottom of the unit or inside the tank?
It's bottom. At the bottom of it.
Okay, and you got it all sealed up good where it's not going to leak any fluid, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That's what you do, and every once in a while you take it off and just kind of blow it off with some compressed air, the pump itself, and maybe spray a little WD-40 around it to keep it from getting corroded, because there's a big difference between the one you pulled off, your 10-year-old, 11-year-old car, and the one you put on, right?
No, exact. Actually, it's an exact match. I don't know how. I looked at it, and it's exactly the same. Everything is the same.
Okay, but is one more corroded than the other? That's kind of where I was going with it.
You're talking about the plastic part?
Well, it's just the whole motor itself. Usually it has lots of calcium all over it, green stuff all over it, blue stuff all over it. It just looks like that, you know, it's an aquarium motor as opposed to a windshield washer motor.
Yeah, it's a little corroded.
Okay. So that's what I say. And it doesn't hurt if you put a little, like I say, a little WD-40 on it. Protects it, keeps it lubricated. And you're not going to get to the internal workings because we're actually pumping water through there. So there's an impeller and an armature, and then we have a little pump. But no, you can loop it, or you can put an elbow in it, whichever you want to do.
Okay. Can I ask another quick question?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a 30-pound canister because I've got an 87 Camry of R12.
Uh huh.
And it's partial. But I'm just trying to find out, besides Craigslist, is there like old car shows that people might be interested in that? Because I think the 87 Camry it's doing fine, so.
Yeah. Well, first of all, to determine how much is out of it, you just weigh it.
Yeah.
So if it's 21 pounds, it's got 21 pounds of refrigerant in it. Everybody sells it by the ounce now. And really and truly, it's not that hard to find. As a matter of fact, I probably have 10,000 ounces in inventory. So it's just not liquid gold yet. It used to be. It's not now. We're recycling much of what we're using. So as far as we're concerned, we've had the same inventory for the last 2 or 3 years because we often take the 12 out, clean it up, put it back in, and we'll need another ounce or two, and that's it. So in your particular case, Craigslist would be a good one. Here's what I would do. I'd call around to a couple of the auto parts store and ask them what does a can of R12 cost, or what is a tank? Now, here's an important part. If you're going to compare apples to apples, you need to ask them, what size is the can? Because some of the cans come 10 ounces, 12 ounces, 14 ounces, and 16 ounces. Well, 16 is a pound, and 10 is not even close to a pound. So you have to do that math yourself. So if it's 10 ounces, then you figure out, well, they want $10 for it. It's 10 ounces. It's a buck an ounce. So then you can say, okay, well, I'm going to ask X amount of dollars, 20 pounds times 16 ounces, and I'm going to have a buck an ounce. That's $320 or $32? My math is terrible. So that's what you're looking for. If you're going to price it appropriately, you want to price it like everybody else does, or maybe a little cheaper, but do it by the ounce. And yeah, you could sell that. I think you'd find a buyer on Craigslist, as a matter of fact.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mark.
Okay, RJ, thank you very much. 602-508-0960. Now, there's some of you out there that have a Ford Escape with a V6, and that's going to be or already is recalled, and I understand they don't have parts yet. I'm very, very familiar with this because I was one of the experts that was tied to this case in Payson where the little girl died, Sage Bloom, and the throttle stuck on her Escape, and I was...
Caller Nick.
I saw everything. Here's what I have to offer you. The temporary repair, there's a big plastic cover on the engine. There's 4 bolts. That cover has to come off. You can stop, go to marksalem.com, and you can stop at any garage on our list, and they'll take it off for you. And they'll put the bolts in a little baggie, and they'll put the cover and the bolts in your trunk. And that guarantees that you will not stick your throttle like what happened to Sage Bloom. Now, it's only the V6, and it's the 01 through 04 Escapes with a V6. We'll take the cover off for you for free. Won't cost you a dime. And the cover gets tangled up in the throttle linkage, and there's a rib on the underside of the cover, and it involves a cruise control cable, and it's a long mechanical story, but the bottom line is that this lever gets stuck underneath the rib of the cover. And I don't know how Ford's going to fix it. No one's really said, but some of you suggested that they're going to put washers to raise the cover up to eliminate that interference. And I want to tell you something. If I owned a 01 to 04 Ford Escape, I would never let them do that. I'd take that stupid cover off, and I'd throw it in the closest recycling container because it's plastic, and I would never put it back on. I don't know how they're going to fix it. If my mom had one of these cars, I would know exactly where the interference is, and I'd take a 2-inch hole saw, and I'd just hole saw that cover. Now, it's going to look like crap, but so who cares? That's the bottom line. Who cares? Nick, you're up next. Nick, how are you today? What can we do for you?
I'm fine, Mark. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
I'm listening to you down in Tucson.
Oh, hi.
I used to really enjoy when you had your program down here, but I listen to you all the time anyway.
Well, thank you, Nick. Thank you.
I need your opinion.
Okay.
I understand that, I don't know if I'm using the right terminology, but Dodge has put out a technical bulletin on the Cummins diesel engine, that you need another filter to protect the injectors.
Okay.
And I was talking to a mechanic here, and he said, yes, that's so. And he suggests the FASS system, F-A-S-S, rather than using the one that Dodge is recommending.
Okay.
And he gave me a rough estimate of $600.
Okay.
And it seems like an awfully high price just for an extra filter.
Okay.
Can you please enlighten me on this?
Yeah, I think I know what's going on. First of all, I have not seen anything from Dodge. And I have not, and boy, do we get the diesels from Chevy, from Ford, and from Dodge. And when people ask me, what diesel should I buy? I'm going to get off track here for just a second. I tell them this. If you have kept one of the vehicles you've owned behind you for 10, 12, 15 years, and you keep a vehicle that long, buy the Cummins. There's nobody even stands in second place. Nobody's in third place. Cummins is the one. If you want a pretty inside and you like creature comfort and you want to drive around in, with the inside of your truck like a Paradise Valley hilltop mountain house, then buy the Ford. But get rid of it before it hits 100,000 miles. If you want a V8 and you want power, then you go to the Duramax. So those are the kinds of things that I look at. I'm not familiar, nor do I agree, that Cummins need extra protection. If that were the case, we would be doing injectors like there's no tomorrow, and nothing could be further from the truth. What he's talking about is there's a pump assembly that they're going to install, and there's going to be two filters on there, or maybe one filter on there. And what they're going to do is supplement the pump, and they're going to put this big long filter in it that cost me about $45. So when you look at the big scheme of things here, you say to yourself, are we sure that we need to do all of this? Is this something that we really need to do? And the answer is no. I did put one of those systems on my motorhome, and I'll tell you why I did it on my motorhome. And it would have cost $600, except I bought it wholesale and I installed it myself. You got a low-pressure pump that feeds the high-pressure pump, and that low-pressure pump will fail. When it does, you're dead in the water. Well, this supplements that low-pressure pump. I didn't give a darn about the filtering. I wanted that other suck-and-push pump. So if I lost the low-pressure pump, I could use the other pump. That's what I bought it for. And it was an expensive bypass. The idea is that unless you've got a problem, unless you're packing that filter that's in there now real bad, then no, I wouldn't spend the money. I mean, I can do a lot of injectors for $600. 602-508-0960. We're going to put you on hold, Nick, in case you have another question, because we're going to take a break and we'll be back. But anybody else, 602-508-0960. I'm Mark Salem. This is 960 The Patriot here on KKNT.
Mark Salem.
Well, you can get stereo tape and a color TV, get a backseat car and reclining seats, and just pay once a month like you do your rent.
Welcome back, everybody. Mark Salem here. And this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Kurtz Auto Repair, I-17 and Bell. They've been open since 1992. They've been a member in good standing with the Better Business Bureau. Kurt and his crew are special. These guys are nice 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Every time I've ever talked to them, every time I've ever been to their shop, every time we've ever been around one another, I'm always impressed on how nice Kurt and his staff is. They're just nice guys. So if you've got a gas, diesel, import, domestic, we don't care if it's a motorhome or a VW. We don't care. Kurtz can handle anything. I-17 and Bell. That's Kurtz Auto Repair. Hey, Nick, you got any other questions about that auxiliary pump and filter system?
No, I think you answered that, but I have another question if you have time.
Go ahead.
What about these reflashes that are needed? There's technical bulletins or something. What are they talking about?
Okay, that's easy. What happens is certain cars are built, and ultimately there'll be a glitch. And the glitch might be that if you... I'm making this up now, but it's some of them are this stupid, Nick. If you hit the brake pedal 3 times in 1 second, of course nobody would ever would, and your wipers turn on, then come in and we're going to attach the computer in the sky with your car, and we're going to go in and carve out this little page of the book, and we're going to put a new page there. So we're going to tell the computer, don't flap the wipers if the guy or the woman hits the pedal 3 times in 1 second. So that's what... Now, there's a lot of people that want that done. First of all, it's $100 at the minimum. It's $100 because your car, first of all, those websites cost guys like me and the dealers cost thousands of dollars a year to have access to them.
Yeah.
Number two, there's going to be a technician standing there watching this happen, and all he's going to do is stand there to watch it happen to make sure nobody opens the door, because if you open the door, you got to start over.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's any change in voltage, you got to start over. So that's why you have to put a battery charger on the car, and we have to stand there and watch it. Sometimes it takes 30 minutes. So there you have 30 minutes worth of time. If you don't have the symptoms, don't get the software update. If the symptoms you read are stupid and you've never seen them before, then leave it alone. Now, when you take it into the dealer, if you ever do, sometimes they'll say, hey, you got three updates. It's okay to say, what's the symptoms of those three updates? They say, da, 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 and you say, I don't have any of them. Thank you. How much are they, by the way? Well, I'll do all three of them for you for $275, which could happen in an independent garage as well. And you say, no, thank you. I'll pass, but I'll make note of it. So that's how I'd handle those.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Great. Well, you really helped me out, Mark, like you usually do.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you for listening. And one other thing. Are you near the I-10 east from Benson?
No, I'm near I-10, but I'm up in Tucson Mountains.
Okay. Because there's lots of ranchers that are buddies of mine with diesels, and they change their filters at half of the normal maintenance interval that the manual calls for, because all of us pour diesel out of a 500-gallon tank that our grandfathers installed at the ranch.
Yeah.
And the fuel inside there may be clean when it goes in, but it's not clean when it comes out. But your filter that Dodge gave you should do the job for you. But thank you, Nick.
Thank you, Mark.
All righty. Don, you're up next. Don, how can I help you this morning?
Hi, Mark. I've got an 88 Chevy Caprice with a 305. Failed emissions. Took it to the shop. They say my carburetor needs rebuilt.
Okay.
And it seems like they want an awful lot of money to rebuild those. I heard you talk about Carter carburetors in the past.
Yeah, let's hold on a minute. First of all, if they want to rebuild the carburetor, it's because the CO was very high and the HC was high too. Or do you have those two readings high?
Yep.
Okay.
And the NOx is high too, and they said I also need the EGR valve.
No,
I
want to hit. No. There's something wrong here, because CO is, you're getting way more fuel than you need. And when CO goes up, HC follows it, but it's not the other way around. HC can go up and CO can sit there and do nothing.
Yeah.
If I'm flooding the cylinder with fuel, is that cylinder going to run extra hot as opposed to lean or not? Which is going to run hotter, when it's lean or when it's fat and rich?
When it's lean.
Bingo. So how can we have, and I'm not saying you don't have high NOx. What I'm saying is that the EGR valve is supposed to fix NOx, but so is timing and a whole bunch of other things. And if you're running really fat on fuel, then we shouldn't have high cylinder temperatures. And if we do, we need to investigate that. First, we got to fix the CO problem.
Okay.
The quadrajet on your car, it has a forward vacuum brake, a backward secondary brake. It has a TPS unit inside. It has an electronic float in your 88. We're going to have to seal the main metering wells. It takes a gray-haired, seasoned son of a gun to rebuild that carburetor, because here's the key. Take it apart and fix it, and fix what you went in after, but not create anything new. And the second part of what I just said is where it bites everybody.
Right.
But you're going to spend at least $250 and upwards to $500 to have that carburetor rebuilt, to fix the CO, drop it down to probably 1.2, 1.5 or less, drop that HC down, and then kill the NOx as well. You can put a Carter on there, but you have to get a new air filter, and by the time you're done and have your transmission adjusted, all your throttle linkage done, you're going to have to redo your springs, you're going to have to redo your air conditioning kicker motors. By the time you do all that, you're going to be up to where the carburetor is. What you need to do is you need to look them in the eye and say, I don't want this carburetor to be the first one this kid's ever rebuilt. I'm looking for the old man of the unit. I want somebody who was born 30 years before the 1988 Caprice.
Right.
I want somebody who's done this over and over and over again. What part of town do you live in?
Right off about 24th Street in Thomas.
Okay. Oh, 24th Street and Thomas. Well, I got 25th Street Automotive, which is 25th Street and Indian School, And Bill there is a race car driver, and I have all the faith in the world that Bill could pull this off. I've also got Kelly Clark at 12th Street in Glendale, and I know they could pull this off. Those are the two ones that are close to you. Otherwise, I'm going to send you into Scottsdale. But again, it's going to be... First of all, we're going to break this down. We have on and off labor. Okay, so that's probably going to be $65, $75. Then we got take it apart, clean it, and put it back together. And that's going to be $200 at least. Then we got the parts. So we got the kit and we got the float, but then there's five or six other peripheral parts on the outside of it that may or may not be working. Then you got to know what you're doing, because it's an electronic solenoid that causes that metering valve to open and close, and you have to set the bottom and the top, and you got to do it right, and you got to know what you're doing, because if you don't, you'll never get that carburetor to dial in, and then the call comes in and says, hey, I just won't dial in, so we're going to have to put a new one on there. And now the new one's $825, and you're going to hear that. If you hear that, you need to say, whoa, and pull on the reins, okay?
Yeah.
And that's go back and ask him to break down the estimate. Just ask him. Just say, break it down to me. You know, how much to take it on and off? How much to rebuild it? What kind of parts do you have in there? Show me what that big estimate is. And when I come back from this break, I'm going to take Paul and Jeff, but I'm going to tell you why that's so important. Because not too long ago, my brother was told $6,982, let's call it $7,000, to fix his motorhome. And I took it to another shop, and they fixed it for $3,065, and they did exactly the same work. So he owes me like dinner for the rest of my life. Those are the kinds of things that I can help you with. I can help you find out if you're being treated fairly. But thank you very much, Don. And if you want to talk more, see me on email, mark@marksalem.com. Paul and Jeff, you stay right there, because I'm going to get you right after this. 602-508-0960. And we're still taking calls. If you have a car question, our lines are wide open except for two. 508-0960. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. The lines are filling up quick, and so I'm going to be quick about this. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Quality Transmission. Bob and Steve at Quality Transmission are probably two of the best guys the Valley has to offer when it comes to customer service and knowing about how to fix transmissions. See, a lot of places just want to overhaul it. So they say, I need $300 to take it apart and give you an estimate. And so once they take it apart, you're theirs forever. You're not going to tow it out of there. And no one in their right mind is going to take your car with the transmission in a shopping cart. Well, no one's going to do that. So you're stuck, and they know that. Quality Transmission in Tempe, they don't do that. They don't hold your car hostage, and they don't want to take a lien on your car either. They don't do stuff like that that makes it really look bad. What they do is fix your car, and if it only needs one part, that's all it gets. And they're good enough to give you an estimate long before they take it apart. That's Quality Transmission McClintock, north of University in Tempe. And no matter where you live, they're worth the drive. We were talking about Don's carburetor, and Don, you're probably still listening. If I had to bid that, I'd bid it at $450 to $600, not knowing about the front vacuum brake, the rear vacuum brake, the choke housing, the mixture control solenoid, the TPS. I can tell you that carburetor, brand new, with just a minimal amount of markup, is going to be $800, $900. And then you still got to install it. So I think you're better off having it rebuilt. Bill over at 25th Street Auto. If he can't do it, Bill can't fix it and make it perfect if it needs a carburetor overhaul, then I'll fix his mistake for free. You got my promise. Paul, you're up next, buddy. How are you today?
Good, Mark. Thank you.
Go ahead.
I recently changed my radiator water pump on my 01 PT Cruiser.
Okay.
And I installed the timing belt kit along with the pulleys.
Okay.
And my car is not turning over now. And I'm thinking that it's because I didn't align the what is it called, inside the belt properly. Is that right?
Yeah. Don't try it anymore.
Okay.
Because if it's locked up, that means the pistons are hitting the valves, and that's not good. So I'm going to have you back it up. I want you to pull all the spark plugs out of it, and I want you to turn the motor backwards until it frees up and get into a free zone. But don't crank it over anymore.
Okay.
And there is a specific way to put the belt back on, and I think your PT Cruiser has a balance shaft in it, so we got to do the balance shaft, the camshaft, and the crankshaft have to all be synchronized.
Gotcha.
Anything that has a pulley with a tooth on it has to be synchronized. And if you don't put it back exactly the way you found it, there's about a 25% chance you've already caused a lot of damage. There's a 75% chance that you haven't.
Wow.
So it's going to be important for you to do that. Now, you can get on the internet and figure this out, but the crankshaft is always on top dead center. So number one, piston's all the way up and the valves are closed. You're going to have to pull the valve cover off to make sure that's happened, or put your finger over it if you can spin the motor over by hand. You can't, obviously. So right. You find the compression stroke, and when you get to the compression stroke, you look at the front crank pulley, and when it gets to top dead center, boom, that locks that one in. Now, at this point, you got to find the mark on the cam, and does the mark on the cam match 9 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1:30? Where is it supposed to be at? And then the belt has to go on. Then, when you get the belt on before you put it back together, I want you to spin the motor over by hand to make sure there's no interference. And after you spin the motor over by hand with a big breaker bar with no spark plugs in it, I want you to check those marks 3 times. Because it'll take 10 revolutions of the motor to show you that you're off one tooth.
Wow.
So that's what you have, and that's why it happens a couple times a year where we do a timing belt and it comes back, and the thing is it's really hard to start, which means we've got an advanced a tooth, or it's got no power mark. You took half my motor away, and that means we retarded it a tooth. So yeah. I speak of experience, buddy.
Okay.
All righty.
So I think I'm over my head. What should this cost me if I take it into a mechanic?
Well, it depends on what state of disrepair. Have you got it completely back together?
Mark, we have a minute and a half.
Okay. I think what you do is you call around and you just ask everybody, what's the labor for the timing belt? And I'm thinking that it's going to be somewhere in the vicinity of $200-$300. I could be wrong. I'm just shooting from the hip.
Okay. Gotcha.
And then you say, okay. Then you take it in and you say, I've already put the belt on the water pump. I just want you to put the belt on, right? Because the labor's the same. They got to go in, put the belt on,
sure.
Right, and come back out. So it's the same.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Jeff, 1 minute. Jeff, real quick, give me your question. I'll see if I can answer it.
I have a problem. It comes out cool but not cold. The refrigerant is full. The compressor feels cold.
Okay.
It's good up until 95 degrees. And then I can't drive the car.
Okay.
I can't overcome the heat. I was told it's an evaporative control valve. Does that make sense to you? It's kind of expensive. I wonder if there's any way to get around it or jimmy-rig it or something.
Yeah, there's a bunch I want to talk to you about. I want you to stay on the line. Mike, Don, and Pam, you guys stay there. I'm getting as quick as I can, but I'm going to be out here in 20 seconds. We're going to take a quick break, and when I come back, Jeff, get your paper and pencil while we're taking this break, and I'm going to give you some things I want you to check. Because long before we start guessing with your money, it's better if we run a couple tests and you can do that for us. And then I can give you some guidance on what you're probably looking at. 602-508-0960. Mark Salem, we'll be right back.
D&B Auto Repair is a show.
All about that theme and automobile. The metal monster with the polyglass wheels. The end result of the dream of Henry Ford.
Henry Ford. My name's Mark Salem. We're here under the hood talking about your car. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. Brian and Thelma, another married couple, another great, honest, filled with integrity couple, own Thompson's Auto Repair. They're on Main Street, just east of Stapley, in Mesa. They've been in business since 1970. Not Brian and Thelma, but their families. And that's important. This is a second or third generation. You only have to meet Brian and Thelma to know that they're going to treat you fair. Just look at them and talk to them. That's all you have to do. Brian's the kind of kid that you'd want your daughter to bring home. That's the kind of kid Brian is, and probably Thelma's going to kill me for saying that. He's married. He's happily married. But anyway, if you're looking for a really good place, then Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing in Mesa, Maine, and Stapley is the place you should go. Okay, Jeff.
Yeah.
You're going to go get a thermometer at the local auto parts store that costs $5.
Right.
And you're going to put it in the center vent, and you're going to put the air conditioning on third speed.
Yeah.
And you're going to start it up. You're going to open up the hood. And you're going to just sit there and watch it, and then you're going to write down what it is at idle. Then you're going to go to 2,000 RPMs, just hold the idle up, and see what it is again. Then I want you to get out, and I want you, there's two hoses off the air conditioning compressor. There's two metal hoses. One's going to be hot to the touch, and one's going to be cold to the touch. I want the one that's cold to be really cold, and I want it to be sweating. Okay? Now, you've already got two measurements at idle and at 2,000 RPM. Now, I want you to get out, and with your garden hose, I want you to saturate the condenser, which is in front of the radiator. And I want you to go look at it. Then you touch that cold side too. If all of a sudden you put cold water across that condenser, and all of a sudden the temperature drops by 20, and all of a sudden that slow suction side of the compressor turns ice cold, we're having an airflow problem across the condenser. I don't know how you came to the conclusion that the system is full, but that...
It was checked.
Huh?
It was checked by my mechanic.
Unless he took the refrigerant out and weighed it and put it back in?
Well, he said he had to add a little bit.
So no, that... And I understand that, but the sophistication level of today is far past that. We have machines that will, it says right on your car, you know, it takes 18 and a half ounces. We suck the refrigerant out, and the machine says, hey, he's 3 ounces low. We never knew before how doggone critical it was for us to be right on the money. Mm-hmm. 2 ounces can mean all the difference in the world. The old-timers like my dad, oh, Mark, take that machine, that ain't nothing, and they just, I'm going to put some refrigerant in until I get 38 on the low side, 250 on the outside. I say, hey, Dad, the ambient temperature has to be into that mathematical equation. Oh, that's all right. I said, so it's 117, you're going to do the same as you're going to do for 85, Dad? Yep. Okay, you're the boss. So that's what you're going to do, but I'm looking for 55 degrees or less out of the center vent, and then I want you to go drive it and see what it is. If you drive it and it gets lower, we still have that airflow across it. Electric cooling fans, fan clutch, the condenser's dirty, or you got too much refrigerant in it and the high side is skyrocketing and somebody's got too much refrigerant in it. As long as that suction side is cold one time during this testing procedure, that compressor's going to be okay. So then you got to figure out. But somebody has to guarantee you what the repair is, Paul. They can't be guessing with your money. Well, I think it's an evaporative, or what do they call that thing? I'm just...
Evaporative control valve, you said?
Well, it's not an evaporative control valve. I just have a major brain fade here. It's an expansion valve. Expansion valve or orifice tube. And that meters the flow of Freon. Unless they're absolutely sure, you look them in the eye and say, I ain't paying for guesses. If you want to put in the expansion valve, you go ahead. But if that doesn't fix it, I'm not paying for it. That's what you say. All righty, Jeff, good luck to you, buddy. Mike, you're up next. Mike, how are you today?
Hi, great, thanks. I got a 01 Dodge V6 Ram, and I think I'm getting some transmission slippage. In the winter last year, it backing out. It just seemed to be on backing out. It was slipping a bit.
Okay.
But so then I went ahead and I put a stop slip in and whatever, and it helped it quite a bit. But anyway, now in the summer, it's kind of laboring, pulling away from a light. You don't notice it a lot, but it's kind of laboring. And I'm wondering, is there an external adjustment on this transmission? Do you know?
I'm pretty sure there is. There's going to be a pressure port that we can check the internal pressure. And it depends on what you're doing. I can't give you numbers. I'd have to look them up. But it could be.
I can take it in. I can take it into a guy and have him do it.
But let me give you something to do first, though. How many miles are on it?
Oh, it's about 99,000.
Has the fluid filter ever been changed?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. It's been about 4 months ago.
All right. And this additive you put in, it helped with slipping issues?
Yes. I didn't put a lot in, but it did. Very much help.
Next time, just put a little brake fluid in there. It'll be a lot cheaper, and it's really good.
Really?
Yeah. Brake fluid swells the seals a little bit. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to manually shift it for a couple of days. Every time you come to a stop, I pull it into first gear. I want you to manually shift it. If you say, Mark, I'm missing first gear, this thing's starting off in second, because you'll figure that out when you manually shift it. That's something. Now, there's 4 transmission shops in town that are the best of the best. What part of town do you live in?
How about Scottsdale Road and Thomas?
Scottsdale Road and Thomas. Quality transmission just down there on Hayden, on McClintock, just south of the 202 by the Tempe area there, right on Hayden Road. Bill or Steve, they'll drive it for free for you. They'll talk to you for free.
So a quality transmission, yeah.
Quality transmission. All righty.
All right. Thank you much.
Thank you, Mike. Don, you're up next. Don, how can I help you?
Hello, Mark.
Hi.
Good morning. I have 2 simple questions. Quick questions.
Okay.
An 01 GMC Sonoma pickup, intermittently, it'll die. It'll riff. And I'll turn the ignition off and push the clutch in, put it in neutral, and start it up again. It'll run fine.
Okay.
So, and then the other one is my clutch pedal is sticking, and I'll have to sidestep it to pop it back up.
What's slipping?
The clutch pedal.
Oh, all right. If you're on speakerphone, then don't do that.
Okay, let me go into the landline, okay?
Okay, good. With respect to your 01 GMC, the question really is it spark or is it fuel? And that's what we need to find out.
Okay.
Somebody has to put a fuel gauge on there, a fuel pressure gauge, and typically this is what happened. You go in and the shop says, hey, Don, I'm going to have you help us with the diagnostic process. I would otherwise bid it from $50 to $150, but Don, I'm going to rent you a gauge, and I'm going to put this gauge on. I'm going to duct tape it to your windshield. Don't let anybody steal it, and you're going to drive it for a couple of days, and all I want you to do is watch the gauge, Don, because if it's supposed to be at 40 and you're driving along and you're coming to a stop and all of a sudden you see it drop down to 8 and the motor dies, then that's what I needed to do, Don. So I'm going to charge you $75 to rent you my gauge. I'm going to charge you $75 to install it and take it out, but you're going to help us diagnose this problem. On the other hand, if it stays at 40 the entire time, I need to look at the ignition module, the crankshaft sensor, or the distributor. So that's what I do. Give me that second one again.
The clutch pedal is sticking. I can't find anything in Haynes that shows me how to bleed the slave cylinder.
Oh, is the slave cylinder on the outside of the transmission?
I don't know. They don't. There's no pictures.
Follow the hose from the master cylinder. Follow the hose from the clutch master that's on the firewall, and it'll take you to the slave.
Okay. Right. Yeah, it is inside the bell housing.
All right. Well, then this is how we bleed them. We bleed them before we put them in, and and you could have a bad master. Somebody needs to diagnose it. But typically what we do is we bleed from the bottom down. So we open up the bleeder. We force fluid from the bottom up, which forces the air out the clutch master.
At the top.
It makes a mess, and you got to be careful with the paint, but that's the way we do it.
Okay. The paint is the least of my worries.
Okay.
But there is a way to access the slave to force fluid into it?
If you can see it, sometimes there'll be a bleeder that you can access. So you'll have to pull the boot off the fork.
Yeah, no
problem. And look inside there.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Yeah, on my dying problem, it just dies after a stop sign. I'll be sitting there idling, and I'll push the clutch, the gas, and it'll just sputter, and then it'll die. It doesn't die just driving down the road or anything.
All right, but still, fuel or spark. Here's something else. Do you know where the EGR valve is on your Sonoma?
Yeah.
Disconnect the rubber line and put a golf tee in the rubber line and drive it that way for 3 or 4 days. If you get a check engine light, I don't care. But if you come back and say, Mark, it doesn't die, and I plug the EGR valve and it does die, I say to you, Don, the EGR is sticking open. Take it off and clean it up.
It only happens every couple hundred miles or something. You know?
All right. Well, give it to your wife and drive her car.
Really?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Don. All righty. Pam, you hang on. You're next. If you're looking for a paint and body shop, what you don't want is you don't want your paint and body shop to be beholden to the insurance company. You don't want them to cut corners to reduce the insurance company's financial responsibility at your expense. You don't want them to be dancing to the music of the insurance company, who clearly has only one agenda, and that's put you back on the road as cheaply as possible. Wouldn't you rather have someone put you back on the road the way you were? Put me back the way you found me. Put me back 1 second before your client crushed my car. That's what you want. Well, in Arizona, you're lucky because you get to pick the body shop. And if you're going to look at a body shop that I've used and that I trust, then you're going to go see Greg May at Phoenix Body Works. They're at Deer Valley Road, 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley Road. And folks, I'm going to tell you, everybody that goes there sends me a nice letter and tells me, thank you, because they know what they're doing, and they're not adversaries of the insurance company. They're well respected by insurance companies. They work with insurance companies very well. But unlike 10, 25% of the shops in town, they're not going to sell you down the river. Okay, so Phoenix Body Works, remember that. Pam, you're up next. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me on. I have a bunch of problems.
Okay.
I wish I could dig my daddy up. That would be another problem, too. I didn't listen when he was trying to tell me, but I have a PT Cruiser, and I know it needs some motor mount. I know that two of them, but they said it's good to get all of them. And I need to get some bearings in the back. But apart from that, that's minor.
Okay.
The check light engine came on. I got a brand new battery, and so everything, the check light engine went off because the man told me that everything was deregulated. So, but it came back on about 3 months ago.
Okay.
And it makes this noise like clanking, like when I, you know, turn the steering, when I crank the car up, it has a strange noise. It's not a noise that most people can notice, but I do. And it, but when I turn the wheel, it goes, and so this girl told me, she says, you Now, she doesn't have a car. Most all the women around me, they're carless.
Okay.
So they, but they all have advice, so I don't know what to do.
All right.
And it makes that cranky. But she says, that's the thing that's holding your tires on. It's about to, it's rusty or about to break or something.
Okay.
And the air conditioner, I declare, I think it went out yesterday because it was hotter than hell in there for it.
Yeah. Well, I want to tell you something. Even my air conditioning didn't work worth a darn yesterday. So, you know, it doesn't cost me anything. I just tell my wife, take my truck back to the shop and have the guys fix it and remind them that the guy that signs the front of their paycheck, that's his truck. And of course, I'm teasing you. Let's do it one at a time. The motor mounts, I agree that you do all of them, but you don't have to do all of them. You can do them in pairs. You probably have four. You can do the front and the back one or the left and the right one. You can do two at a time if you want. The wheel bearings, that's going to be a noise that is with the speed of the vehicle. So if you go down the road and the noise goes louder and louder the faster you go, and if you turn left and it goes away, or you turn right and the noise goes away, that's wheel bearings, okay? With respect to the check engine light, don't guess. You got to have somebody pull the code and find out what's wrong. When you took the battery out, then it cleared the memory of the computer. So the computer's memory has come back now, and it says, I see a problem over here, and I'm turning this light on to tell you. So you have to have that addressed. There's no other – there's guessing. But the steering or this noise in the morning really bugs me. And when you said you turn the steering wheel and there's this noise, I'm thinking that maybe the power steering belt is loose.
Okay.
I'm thinking maybe the power steering belt is bad. Now, if it's a crunching noise, like you're cracking your knuckles, and it's related and it's a mechanical or a metal noise – then the tie rod, she's talking about the lower ball joints or the tie rod ends, and if one of those is bad and it comes apart, you're in big trouble. So what part of town do you live in?
I live out in Goodyear.
Goodyear.
Away from you. Well, I'm on the cusp of Avondale and Goodyear.
Okay, if you take it over to S&S Tire,
okay.
All right, and they're just, gosh darn it, I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, Litchfield at Dizer.
Yeah.
Litchfield Road.
Okay. So you go over to S&S and say, Mark Salem said that you just drive this and look at the front end, and I'm going to show you this noise I get when I start it up, and you just give me an estimate on it. That's all I want you to do. And
okay.
if there's a charge, have them call me, and I'll cover your checkout charge, because I'm quite sure they're going to charge you nothing anyway. So take it over to S&S, tell them Mark said that, okay?
Oh, okay.
All right.
What's the water in the radiator that's sitting up to the top, that water? Is it because I need a new cap on it?
I don't know. They'll do that too, but I got to go. So Mark at MarkSalem.com. Tom, I can't get you in, and I'm really sorry. But if you tell me it's your Tom at Car Question and you email Mark at MarkSalem.com, I'll answer you first. Everybody else, wear your seatbelt. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next Saturday at 10.